You're listening to the Infused Leadership Podcast, because we have it all figured out. We
are children. Well, hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on the Infused Leadership Podcast. I'm Jared Bayless. I'm the Creative Arts Pastor here at Element Church.
Hi, Jared.
Hi.
Hey, Jeff.
That's a good start.
Hey, Jeff.
This podcast is called Great Leaders Will Break Your Heart. Get used to it. I'm Jared Bayless, Creative Arts Pastor here at Element Church. I'm joined by Sir Jeffrey Manis of...
That's right. Don't forget it.
Of the Element Realm. And so we're glad you're joining us today. This podcast, hopefully they're all just a little bit different, but I will turn this over to Jeff with a little bit of a background behind this.
Yeah, when we first moved here to Cheyenne, it's the first time I ever lived in a military town, so the whole military lifestyle and what that meant, especially to a church, I was really ignorant to. And I was talking to another pastor here in town who was just complaining about the fact that, his exact words were, we don't even want to reach military people because we know in 2 years or 3 years they're going to be gone. When I heard that, I thought, man, that sucks for the military people that are looking for a church. Like, if they came to you and you just don't even want them there. So really, from that point on, I say, let's embrace those people, even though they're going to be, you know, going to be moving on at some point. Typically, it's 2 to 3 years those military families move on. And because of that, we've developed just kind of a statement here at Element that we don't lose people, we send them. And so we really view the fact that God's going to bring us these people for a short period of time, and we want to do our best to invest in them, reach them if they're not reached or use their gifts, and then hopefully pour into them in a point where they can leave better than they were. And so it broke my heart that pastor thought that. And Jared, you were even telling me a conversation that you also had with some other people in ministry that was kind of similar, that was just like, makes you stop and almost cock your head. Like, what do you mean you don't want them or you don't know how to reach them?
Yeah, I was talking to a couple pastors, and they've had military people come in and out of their church, and they kind of resigned to the fact that they weren't even, I mean, these weren't their exact words, but they weren't even worth trying to pursue because then it could be gone in 3 to 6 months anyway. So why even bother? And so I actually called them out on it and said, well, here's the deal. I'm raising up and trying to train and provide or speak life into somebody who is going to go to another church down the road. So I'm actually training up and I'm actually helping a church in the future, another church that I will not see the return on right away. And so I said, I'm going to train them up, raise them up, give them new abilities, new talents, so that the next church can come in and say, hey, I actually can lead. I've actually never led before, or I didn't, but the last church helped teach me. And they said, you know, like, I would say thank you. If somebody came in and said, actually, my last church really poured into me and I actually have another talent I can offer you, I'd want to call them up and say thank you for investing. And I reap the benefits of that. So therefore, the problem is we just, whatever I get and I have to hold on. And so I said, I'm going to send them out and I'm going to try to help raise up the church and help provide talents to the church. And it might not be my church. Yeah. And so,
and don't get us wrong, it sucks to lose people. Like, when you have somebody that's super talented, gifted in a certain area, and they're on your team, like, we don't want people to go. It still sucks when they go. But it has helped us, I think, to view it as a sending thing. Like, we literally have people now that have been a part of Element for sometimes 3 months, sometimes 3 years, that because of the military or their job or whatever, they are all over the globe, hopefully making an impact so that our reach now is far beyond Cheyenne. I think a lot of that's due to the fact that we have made that shift of, you know, we don't lose them. Yes, we do, and we miss them, but we view it as sending them out. And hopefully they're making a better impact than even when they came in.
Yeah,
and made us better too. I mean, we're made better by people that come through as well, and helps expand our leadership.
Mm-hmm. It's also not honoring to them to have them want to give back their talent to what they feel like God has given them, and then we say no because it doesn't fit our schedule and it doesn't fit our timeline, and we're afraid of getting hurt. So therefore, we're not going to let them serve and use and give back their talents, even if it's a small amount. That's not fair. That's not honoring to them or God.
So Jared, why don't you introduce our guests that we got with us, because they serve on your team.
Okay, these guys broke my heart. not yet, but they will break my heart.
2 months.
Yep. I hope, never mind. I'm thinking of a Toni Braxton song.
you should sing it.
Unbreak My Heart.
Oh, yes. You should put that in there.
Unbreak my heart. Okay. Anyway, I lead the music here.
I can tell.
So I want to introduce, this is Chris and Corey Lance. They are both serve on the worship team here at Element Church. Chris plays guitar and bass, and Corey is one of our lead vocalists.
And helped write a song for us.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
Which you won't.
Let's sing that together.
We'll have her sing it later.
Okay.
But they're super awesome, great, high-capacity leaders who have just jumped in, and they have traveled all over the world, really, and we have been blessed to have them, and they will do anything and everything possible to help, and they are super great servant leaders. I know they don't like me saying all this stuff, but it's true. So, but we just really wanted to bring them in because they're actually getting ready to leave here soon. In a few months, at least at the time of this podcast. And so we wanted to get their thoughts and get a little background to them of just being military and traveling about every 2 years and all the things they've seen in different churches all around the world and get some of their takes. So
we might actually break into some marital counseling too, because they did tell us their answers are not going to be the same, which might cause some fights in the room.
Yeah,
so
I hope so.
If you hear furniture breaking, you'll know.
Be like Jerry Springer up in here. So I got a first question, so I'll leave it up to you two, whoever wants to go first or just answer, whatever. So what's the most difficult part about having to change churches every couple of years? That seems taxing to me, but it's normal to you guys now.
The hardest part for me is we get to a new place and we are on a little bit faster track than other military families. We know that we only have 2 years in any given place to find the perfect church, get plugged in, do what we need to do, and then we have to leave again. So, showing up somewhere, there's a mad dash for about 4 weeks of trying to find the perfect church where we're going to be able to serve, and then having the humbling experience to walk up to the worship leader and say, I know you don't know me, but I can sing, really, and I would love to help out at your church for a little while. I hate talking to people like that anyway, and then to have to do it every 2 years is difficult.
You didn't even talk to me. You talked to Morgan. You went around me.
It's true. I forgot about that.
You're intimidating.
That's right.
That's funny.
So have you ever thought about, I know Chris has not answered this question yet, but I want to hear from you, Corey. Have you ever thought about when you go into a new town of, I'm just not going to, it's too hard to connect as much as I want to. I'm not going to. Has that ever crossed your mind? Have you ever done that? Just not connecting to a church when you're there?
We did that in Texas, where we came from before we were here. And we had the hardest time finding a church in San Antonio. And we finally found one, but it was about 40 minutes away. And the girls, we have three girls. And at the time, they were 5, 3, and 1. Mm. They were so little. And I knew that getting to worship practice on Thursdays or whatever day they had it and trying to be there early on Sundays would be torture. So I said, I'm just going to step back. Maybe this is a season that God doesn't want us to plug in. And that was a horrible idea. That did not work out the way we planned. So the first thing we did when we got here was decide that we were going to find somewhere we could plug in quickly.
So Chris, what about you? Is there something different you'd share that's the most difficult part of every 2 years, whatever that rotation is for you? What's that most difficult part about leaving and changing and finding a new church?
Oh, yeah. As you said earlier, Corey's answers and my answers will probably be very different this whole time. So we do see some things eye to eye, I will say that. But yeah, actually, it's similar. Every time we move, it's more difficult. Me, I love to play. I love to be in the worship team. But it's more important to get plugged into the church where they need us. So finding a church that we can plug into that supports the community is more important to me. So if I don't play on stage, well, that's okay. But I want to find somewhere to plug into, whether that's in an auto ministry, whether it's in the kids ministry, wherever it is. So we just want to find somewhere that's willing to let us plug in. And honestly, she mentioned Texas. We were down there. We went to probably 4 churches, and we would actually fill out the volunteer sheet and say, hey, I'd check everything. I want to do all this. And no one would contact us.
Wow.
They didn't even want us to come serve. So we would move on, find the next church. We finally found the last church, and we really got to know the pastor a little bit, really enjoyed talking with him and loved the message they were given. But we just didn't get plugged in there. So to me, it's finding a church we can plug into, and not only plug into, but plug into meaningfully into the community, because the church is pouring into the community. That's what's most important to me. Sometimes it's hard to find those churches.
Yeah.
You guys don't know this, but when I, cause you didn't talk to me cause you were afraid to, but, I don't know. You just happened to talk to Morgan, but anyway, but one thing that he said that you said, and that was a great indicator to me was, hey, I sang and I think it was just you that talked to him and said, and my husband plays, if it doesn't work out, that's fine. We can maybe volunteer in eKids. We just want to get plugged in. And to me, that told me a lot. Like that said a lot to me that you're like, I just want to serve. And that usually told me like, well, you guys, regardless if I know you're good or not, you guys are servant leaders.
Yep.
And I was like, and then when I heard you guys play and sing and I was like, well, they can obviously play and sing very well, but you guys were still like, but if it doesn't work, that's fine. You could have been like, I deserve because I'm good and I play well. And, but you guys didn't. So that spoke a lot to me. And that usually is my indicator when it's like, hey, I want to be on stage with you guys. That's a huge red flag for me. But it was like, hey, I just want to serve. And if it doesn't work here, then maybe somewhere else we could serve. That's a green flag for me.
Stole what I was going to say.
Oh, well. That seems about right. I'm always a step ahead of you.
I was gonna actually mention that, you know, that we're doing this for leaders, but if you're not someone who's necessarily leading in a church, but you're just a part of a church, something Chris said is huge. That I think pastors, leaders in churches are desperate for people that will come in and just say, you know what, wherever you can use me, I'm available. Instead of like you said, well, I'm a good singer and I need to be on that platform. And that throws up red flags instantly to any worship leader, especially, or somebody that comes in and just demands they want to do a certain thing. You're looking for servant leaders. So I hope, mm-hmm. I hope there's somebody listening that's not, maybe you're not listening to this because you're leading a ministry, but it can help you understand what leaders are looking for when you're connecting into a church. I don't know. That was good. Mm-hmm. So when you heard me sing, did you think, man, I deserve to be on the platform too, Jared?
No.
I
felt like you should not quit your day job when you made your debut singing Richard Marx.
Hmm. Interesting.
You know, Jeff, I would add too, for those folks out there, you mentioned folks out there that aren't necessarily serving or leading. I mean, that's the best way. If you feel like this church isn't for you or a church isn't for you, then getting plugged in is the best way to become a quick part of that family.
That's good, man.
And it's helped us out a ton.
That's awesome.
I would encourage anyone out there that is listening, if you're not plugged in, get plugged in.
Yeah.
Because you'll find new friends, you'll meet great people, and you'll doing wonderful things.
That's how a church becomes home.
Mm-hmm. Well, we made the decision to make Element our church home on Sunday. And on Wednesday, me and the girls were painting walls.
I remember that. I filmed you guys. And I barely knew who you were.
Cool.
We hadn't been here very long, but we were like, well, this is our church. We've been here for, 3 days. Let's start painting.
Which is super cool.
So it can suck for both the person leaving the volunteer and the leader that's sending that volunteer out. That sucks to do that. But there's got to be some rewarding parts, too, of seeing all the changes you guys have seen. You've been in a bunch of different churches all over the world. So what's the most rewarding part of that whole every 2 years we're changing? Is there something rewarding that you get out of that?
Well, absolutely. You know, it's been tough. And, of course, I've been living this life a little bit longer than Corey has. She's been with me almost my entire military career. But, you know, the first couple of moves were tough.
Yeah.
And she said, man, I hate to lose these new friends we made. But then I had to remind her, hey, listen, mm-hmm. if we had not lived this lifestyle, we would have never made those friends.
Wow.
So
that's good.
You know, I can think back to all the churches we've served with and the people we met there and what a phenomenal group of people we know now all over the world that we wouldn't know had we not done this. So yeah, I really don't want to leave this church. I truly don't want to leave Cheyenne. We love it here, love the church, love the community. But we're going to leave, and you know what? We're going to meet some great friends where we're going next.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I don't know if it's age or the different churches or what people have poured into me, but every church we go to, I seem to get a little bit more confident in how I lead.
Cool.
And so I'm able to do things at Element that I never would have considered, you know, like five moves ago.
Had you ever written a song that was recorded before?
Here?
That's awesome.
No.
Come to me. Look it up. Oh, it's not available yet.
Yeah, look it up. It won't be there.
Look it up.
It's not there. Look it up anyway.
But it is recorded now.
Yeah, it is recorded.
So we'll get it out there here soon.
With a buzz. With a buzz.
No. When's that album released, Jared?
Look for it then.
Good. All right. Mm-hmm. We'll get that in the blog.
Yeah. okay, so as a military family, you're moving into a community. You come in to a church. Like, what are you looking for? What are you not looking for when you first come in? You have a short amount of time and there's certain things that you've already experienced that you made a mistake maybe, or you got plugged in. I don't know. Do you ever get plugged into a church that you wish you hadn't and then tried to like switch quickly? Has that ever happened?
We never switched. I think sometimes we may have, did we?
Well, we kind of did. It was in Texas again. We started going to a church and very progressive church. And we figured this is going to be our church home. And it was that church that we volunteered, and no one contacted us. We finally inserted ourselves into the kids program, the children's ministry. And it's almost like they wouldn't schedule us. And they were like, "Oh, who are you guys again?" And it just felt like that we just never connected with that church. So at that point, we decided maybe this isn't where God wants us to be.
So what do you look for when you do go in to a church? Or what's the hook, line, and sinker that you decided this is it?
It's important to us. Seems simple. But when people actually talk to us, there are so many churches that you walk into and nobody, you know, even when you're like wearing a big banner, "I'm new," and you talk to people, "I'm new here." Went to one church and we were like, "Hey, you know, we just moved into town. We'd like to know kind of your ideas on missions." Because like we say, we don't have a lot of time to find a new church. "You know, what are your views on missions, or on, you know, what do you do in the community, or what do you do here?" "Oh, well, we're going to have a membership class in about 2 months, so you can just come back." And we're like, I don't have two months to figure out who you are as a church. Mm. You're like, I need to know the bullet points as to, you know, what are you doing and what is your passion? And if we align with that, great, we'll jump in. And if we don't, we got to move on because, you know, we're kind of like church speed dating.
That's a good way to put it. So, I like that.
Yeah, we need everything up front.
We could call the podcast that too. Church speed dating.
That's true. Yeah.
That was awesome.
You finally started to date us.
Cool. It's kind of what I said before. It's a place that we can get plugged in. The most important thing for us is when we roll into a church, is what is this church doing in the community and sometimes abroad, but to us it's real important in the community. What impact are they making to bring people in the community to Jesus? Because that's what we're here for. That's what we're all here for. We're here to show love to our community and love to people. And coming to this church, you know, the iHeart Cheyenne and the iHeart Wyoming now is just, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. We love that. Other churches we've been in have had similar campaigns in their areas. And that's what we look for. Who's getting plugged in? Who's investing in the people of the community? We want to jump in and invest with you.
My mind's racing with all sorts of thoughts, but it boggles my mind that there are churches out there that you can go into and not really be talked to or welcomed. I mean, it's cool for me hearing from a different perspective. Like, I was a pastor's kid, now I'm a pastor. So my world has been in church leadership. It's all I know. So the fact that there's some church leader out there that doesn't think their church should be welcoming, it boggles my mind. I can't believe that.
Lots of them.
And then also something that I think is cool too, that neither of you mentioned, and I'm sure at some point the quality of worship, quality of preaching becomes a big deal, but neither of those things were the marks for you guys of a church you're looking to plug into. It was first of all, you know, what's their passion, what are they doing in the and then what are they doing in the community. So I thought that was super cool too. Like, we can get caught up on those platform things, but it was the off the platform things that were the biggest ones for you guys. It's a good reminder for us in leadership.
Yeah. The people are watching us before we ever even know, like, the non big ticket items.
Yep.
I put big ticket in quotes. You can't see it.
Yeah,
I did.
I saw it, Jim.
That's absolutely correct, Jeff, because there's lots of people out there that are great speakers. There's lots of people out there that are great musicians. I mean, talent's easy to come by.
Yeah.
But it's the heart behind it.
It's good.
That's not as easy to come by.
That's awesome.
When you find that, man, that's good stuff.
That's cool. That is a great leadership principle right there. Is there anything that turns you? I mean, you kind of talked about it, I guess, with the struggle of, you know, a church. Some churches not even really wanting to talk to you or whatever. But what are things that turn you off in a church? Like, when you show up and it's like, man, this is immediately, we know we're not going to come back here.
It's changed over the years. At first, it really was how much they talk to you, and that's still a big one.
Yeah.
Second one now, though, is the children. We do have the three girls, and for me, I mean, I'm like you. I grew up a music minister's kid, same church my entire life. Everyone at that church knew that I was her daughter, and if I did anything, everybody in the church was going to know, and it was going to get back to me. Like, everybody parented me. Well, we move every 2 years. We come into this church. I don't know you.
Yeah.
And I have to trust you with my child.
Wow. That's good.
So that is a huge part for me. So I love the security system that's set up. Mm. I love the background checks that are done. I love, you know, how they protect children and then how they minister to children is huge for us.
Again, a little different answer than that. Basically, one thing, and Jared and I have talked about this quite a bit, some churches, and we both grew up in a specific denomination of church I'm not going to mention, but we both grew up in a church, and it seemed like the churches we grew up in that denomination were very, I guess you would say, legalistic, where things that really, in my opinion, don't matter, seem to matter an awful lot.
Yeah.
And they would fight, and people would leave the church over things like this. And to me, that's just ridiculous. We're loving on people, and we're showing love, then that's all that matters, not that other stuff. So we've been in many churches that other stuff seems to matter an awful lot. And when I see that, that's just okay. I don't think this is a church that we can really plug into because they're not focused on the important thing.
So you guys, obviously, we keep saying you guys are leaving.
unbreakable.
Anyway,
so that's theme song for this podcast.
So what is it that you've seen churches do, including us at Element, that help somebody leave well or leave better than when you arrived? Like, what are the things that you've seen during your time that have been so beneficial so that when you leave, you feel better because of giving your time to them?
I only listen to Christian music, by the way. Just wanted you to know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's some good stuff out there that's not Christian.
Really? I would know.
Some really good sin music out there.
Sorry, I interrupted the question.
So, since Jared embarrassed us, I get to embarrass him.
Yes, please do.
This is fun. But honestly, I've never had a pastor, worship leader, anyone pour into us the way Jared has. The text, and I remember getting the one that said, "You're not going to respond to this, and that's okay because I'm going to keep sending them." But you know, we'll just send a text. You
that's
know what?
Creepy.
You're doing a great job. In a nice, godly way.
Okay. Thank you.
But you know, you're doing a great job, and what can I do for you to, you know, help you grow? What can I do for you to make you better? How can I pour into you? And I've never had anybody ask me that question. The first time I was taken aback, and you know, it gets a little embarrassing because you're like, wow, I'm doing a good job. Well, that's good. And so now, you know, now I have half written a song, and I have.
Nice. Way to throw the half in there.
Written the song.
You wrote the song, Dad.
It was yours.
But, you know, I've done things that I never thought possible. And I know that I'm going to go to another church now where I can.
That's awesome.
Be a lot more confident in what I do.
What I think is cool, too, is that Jared did that. I'm gonna brag on Jared, too.
Wow.
He did that knowing that you guys weren't going to be here long term. That's huge. So, but it goes back to, I think, that principle that it's hard. I mean, our team hates even saying it sometimes, but it's that principle of, okay, we're going to send them. They're going to go. So we can either be good stewards of that, or we can just say life sucks and we'll use them while they're here and then let them go. But so I'm proud of Jared that he's kind of taken the mantle of that of, hey, if they're here, we're going to invest in them and hopefully send them off better. That's good.
Well, and Corey kind of stole my thought on that too. And we didn't even talk about this. We talked earlier. We didn't compare answers before this started. So, you know, that's one thing that I agree with her 100% on. And I've heard many people say, when I talk to them about Element Church, you know, and Jared knows I have this Element Church. I got one of the vinyl decals and stuck it on my coffee mug. And Jared's heard this story before. I did that on purpose because in my line of work, it's very difficult to outreach to people. But I can carry that coffee mug around half a day.
Yeah.
And people will say, oh, you go to Element? And I'm like, absolutely. And, you know, why don't you come check us out? I'm like, hey, I heard you play bass. You play guitar at Element. Yeah, you should come check us out. That opens that door for us.
It's awesome.
But I've heard many people say that, man, Element's a great church. We love it there. You know, when they find out I go see the coffee mug, hey, it's great, man. Pastor Jeff, he's awesome. He's a great speaker. He's a great leader. I'm like, he absolutely is. But let me tell you about somebody you don't see very often. And that's Jared Bayless. Well, you see him.
What
are you guys
doing? What's going on here?
You see him often. He's up on stage in the middle, but you don't hear from him very often. You don't see what he does. Yeah. And that's the coolest part. And that's why I've told him this, and I've told a lot of people this, that of all the praise bands we've been part of, this has been the most special.
That's cool, man. That's awesome.
And it goes back to the fact that he's poured into us for, a year and a half. You know, when I first started here, I told Jared, I'm going to play bass. Because I'll be honest, it's easier for me than guitar. I love playing guitar, but bass is easier on me. And we got to a point where we only had one guitar player left, and she was on stage every single week. So I told Jared, I said, look, I'm being selfish. If you need me to play guitar, I can play guitar. So he put me on stage on guitar, and man, I messed up something awful. The first, I think, three or four times I was on stage, I was hosing stuff up left and right. And I would go to Jared after and say, man, I'm sorry about that. And he's like, oh, what, huh? You messed up? Okay, whatever. And I was like, really? And he said, yeah, I'm sure you're going to fix it. I'm not worried about
That's cool.
And that's kind of been his attitude. So not only has he taught me a lot about music, but he's taught me a lot about being a leader. He's taught me a lot about loving on other people.
That's good.
You know, the way he's shown love to the whole team, the people in the church, it's been phenomenal. Cool. Absolutely phenomenal.
Next podcast, I'm going to bring in some people to talk about me.
this is so
like, how good am I? That's what I want to know. This next podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. Jared's pretty awesome. Don't know about anybody else.
No, that is really good. Jared's actually like blushing over here, which is funny, but... But it's the red shirt. It's tinting off of here, making your face tint red.
Yeah.
So Chris and Corey, what's God taught you during your season here at Element that's prepared you to lead your family now through another transition? So you guys have done this as a single person, right? And as a married couple without kids, now a married couple with kids. What have you learned at Element that will help you now walk your family through another transition?
I can start with non-worship team stuff, and that's where I get to brag on somebody else in the church. Sorry, Jeff, it's not you again.
Oh man, I'm falling short.
We do love you, Jeff.
Thanks. I feel so special.
I've never seen such a heart for the homeless.
Yeah.
And the hurting. And Steve Doolin, man, like I know he hates getting on stage, but I love talking to him, and I love his heart for those people. And we were foster parents for a while here, and it was a lot harder than we thought it was going to be. And realize that, you know, it takes a special heart, a very special heart, to deal with certain members of the population. And I don't know that I have it, but I know that it's something that I need to foster in myself, because those are the hurting, those are the broken. And to have a church that... You know, like I said, when we grew up, you know, our parents were at a church where a homeless guy walked in and they held him in the foyer and called the police.
Wow.
Because he was hitchhiking and just wanted to come to church that Sunday. And here we bus him in, you know, like hop on the bus. We're going to church. That to me, fostering that heart for who are the people that God is really trying to reach?
Good.
Who are the broken? Who are the hurting? And go after him.
A little different here, again, as usual. So I do love Steve, too, and Steve does great things, and I love seeing him work, love his passion, like Corey said. But again, I go back to what the church has taught me is how to lead people well and how to lead people to Christ, and how that's the most important thing that a church should be interested in, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Again, I tell people about our worship team here is the coolest thing about our worship team that I've never seen anywhere else is that we start with a devotional before practice. Yeah. We do a devotional before we hit the stage on Sunday mornings.
Yep.
And the point is Jared and the team are saying, yeah, the music is important and we're going to work hard on it. We're going to make sure we get it right, but we're going to start with what's most important, and that's the devotion.
Yep.
And we'll figure that music stuff out. Sometimes those devotions have gone 20 minutes or so. Sometimes they go 5, but sometimes they go 20. And it doesn't matter. We're going to get that done first because it's most important. And I feel like leaving here, because we've been in praise teams where we didn't pray before or anything. We didn't practice. We just rolled in there, and I felt like the worship leader was just up there because he could be on stage. We're here. We're on stage to serve God and to bring people to God.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take that away from here to say, hey, the most important thing is not music. If you make a mistake, that's okay. It's all right if you make a mistake musically. It's not a big deal. What is a big deal is you make sure you love people and lead people to Jesus.
That's good.
My biggest thing is, and if you're listening to this and you have people who you know might leave, my biggest thing, and I always want to tell people, I don't want this to be a place where it's like, oh, I hated Cheyenne in general or whatever, or wherever you're at. Because I want that to be like, that is where the switch flipped for me. And I'm the person I am today because of Cheyenne, Wyoming, or because of Element Church or whatever business you have, or that person that you are. and say, I am that person, I am that leader because of them. And rather than like, it was just the same old thing, same everywhere I went, it was just the same thing. They didn't want me, or it was if I could offer them anything, they didn't really seem to pour back into me. Instead to go, I saw ministry done in a different way, or I saw life done in a different way, and I'm going to take that back with me and not be bitter moving forward. I'm more like hopeful. Yeah. So I hope that, and I know that we do that as a church and as a staff and as a church really well, because I healed really well here at this church. And I had a lot of things that I almost wanted to get out of ministry for, but because of this church helped me heal and refocus and become a better leader. So,
and you might be listening from a non-military town too. I mean, this is a unique situation here, but you're still going to have people that, and what's unique, I think, about Chris and Corey is they're a already Christian couple who will move into a town instantly looking for a church, but that's going to happen all the time. I mean, new teachers come in, new government workers, medical field, whatever. There's going to be believers that come into your community, wherever you are, wanting to connect to a church. And like what they've shared today has been a goldmine of great information. I mean, I hope that there's people taking this to heart of saying, man, there's some things that we need to do differently or better or enhance that we're already doing well that is soul care type stuff, way more than the tasks that they can provide for you. What are you providing for them so that if they do leave, your hope is they don't, but if they do, we want to send them on again better than the way they came in. It's been really, really good.
I kind of mentioned it earlier, but we've been to a lot of different size churches, a lot of different size worship teams. I've been everywhere from playing in a five-piece worship team in a tent in Afghanistan to, you know, playing playing here in front of, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people every Sunday. And some of the best worship experience I've had haven't necessarily come from the most robust production team. It's all about what we're doing for Jesus at that time. And again, I've seen that, you know, to sing God of the City in Kabul, Afghanistan was something special.
That's cool, man.
It truly was.
That's an experience most people don't get, man. That's cool.
It really is. But to come here and, you know, to have that same heart, that's what's cool. That's awesome. And, you know, leaving this church, and again, we hate to leave it, but leaving the church, I feel like I can take the things that this church has taught us about community outreach, about loving people, what the worship team has taught us about music, but less about music and more about how to treat people and how to lead people. We're going to take that. We're going to build on it in our next place. And then we'll take that and move on, because we're going to be there for probably 2 years as well. And we'll just keep building.
It's amazing.
It's a fun ride. And as we've always said, wherever we end up, we know we're there because God wanted us to
be
there.
It's a great perspective. You guys are awesome, by the way. Thanks for doing this, and thanks for being a part of our church. It's you guys have been a blessing, and I hope that you're leaving blessed as well.
Mm-hmm. I think something that you said yesterday, Jeff, was talking about that when you do something that's because it's right, God honors that. Yeah. And so I feel like as a leader, leading other leaders, like you invest in people and you invest in those leaders because it's right, not because you're hoping to get something back. And then you know that God will honor that. So I think that's a huge takeaway. Yeah. You're leading people, and you could say, well, I don't get X, Y, and Z out of it, but it doesn't matter. You do it because it's right, and because God will honor that excellence, and then hopes that you are speaking life into somebody else, and then they will in turn speak life, and you may never see it again on this side of eternity.
Yep. The effect could be exponential.
Yep. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us on the Infuse Leadership Podcast. Please be sure to rate and review it. It super helps us. That's probably bad grammar. But we would appreciate it if you would rate and review it, and that helps it get it out more. We hope that you share this on your social media platforms or wherever you are listening to it. We hope that it is infusing life into you guys. See what I did there? Infuse. Yeah, it's cool. So anyway, thank you guys so much for joining us. And in the meantime, we hope your leadership is infused with life.
It's creepy.